So today we're going to talk about meditation. We're in our spiritual disciplines. Christian did a great job of introducing it last week. And you may think that some of these might be a little weird, but we're going to talk today about meditation. Yeah, I'm going to get into it a little bit. I'm going to talk about it, and then I'm going to give you a few examples of what we can do. Okay. Spending time in quietness, usually alone, drawing closer to God and listening to Him, pondering His word, His creation, His mighty works, and other aspects of His self-revelation is something we do not do enough of. We tend to think it's a little bit strange when we do that. The biblical definition of the word meditate is to ponder or give serious thought or consideration to certain amount of information, something you've read, with a possible, and not always, it implicates that there's some speaking in low tones as you're reviewing the material. Now, when you hear that, you think, oh, so you're mumbling and chanting. Well, no. That's not what I'm talking about, because we tend to think of it as an Eastern type mystical religious thing, but it's not that. Scripture talks in Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Now think about that, always on your lips, always right here. Meditate on it day and night. And a lot of us go, I'm too busy to meditate on the word day and night. We're going to get into that and explain how that works. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Now, that's also a verse that people take on a whole other tangent because, well, if I do this, then I'll be prosperous and successful, which means what in our Western culture? Money, power, fame. No, that's not what this scripture is talking about. So when we take these things out of context, that's what happens. So meditation in Hebrew means basically to speak or to mutter. When this is done in the heart, it's called musing or meditation. So meditating on the Word of God day and night means to speak to yourself the Word of God day and night and to speak to yourself about it, thinking on it, pondering on it. Today I want to talk to you about how we as Christians can meditate on His Word, can meditate on things of God, how to do it biblically, and what the benefits of that could be. Now, when you talk about meditation, people get a little bit, no, we don't do that. Well, let's talk about Scripture that talks about meditation. We need to understand that it's not foreign in the Bible. Here's a few scriptures. Sometimes it will say meditate. Other times it will speak of the heart, of thinking on the heart. And other times it'll be about thought. So Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night. You shall that you may observe to do according that all is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, there's a different translation, but same concept. Psalm 1:1-3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We sang a song just earlier about a tree planted by the water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4:8. I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but it's very important that you hear it and that you know that it's in there. 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7. For as he/her thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So there's scriptures that talk about meditation and thought on scripture, on things. So if we move to who did it, there's lots, but just for example, Isaiah did it. Joshua meditated on the word. The writer of the Psalms did it. Paul encouraged us to keep our thoughts on God. And Jesus, of course, stepped away many times to meditate on the things that he was doing. Obviously, there are more, but I give you all this so you get the point. This is not foreign to Scripture. So how can we meditate? Well, I want to talk to you about when I was a teenager, I was in martial arts, okay? And in martial arts, you meditate. And so I really struggled with this because I went to church, and I really wanted to do this martial arts. It was a Shaolin Kung Fu, so it had a lot of mystical things involved in it, but I felt I could probably handle that part of it. So as we got into it, my brother and I went into martial arts together. We had to sit down and we had to meditate. And they said, think of the third eye. And they gave you all this very mystical type things. And what I did was I'm like, you know what? I don't want to think about nothing. Because they were saying, empty your mind. Just think of nothing. Relax. Become one with the floor and all this kind of stuff. They wanted you just to absorb everything around you. You'd lay on the floor and they would do that. What I did was a few things. One, in my mind, I would praise God. I would sing a song of worship. I would, inside, I would think of scripture. And that's what I would do when I would meditate in this setting. If we were to sit there, sometimes you'll see people, they'll sit with their legs crossed and their hands up. We would sit there, but when I did that, I was thinking on things of God. I was meditating. I didn't want to empty my mind. I wanted to fill it with God, with good things, with the scriptures. And so that's what I did all throughout my martial arts career, was meditate on God while others were trying to empty their mind and do whatever they did. I'm here to tell you it can be done. And I did this all through my teenage years and through my young adult life. And while everyone else around me was emptying their minds, I was filling mine with the things of God. And so we need to take the time, first of all, to meditate on Scripture. We're going to talk about how we can do this. Meditating on Scripture. This is where we would take a Scripture and we would read that particular Scripture and we would think about it. We just think about it. We read through it. We think about it. We whether it's one verse or a section of Scripture, you take it, you meditate on it, you ask some questions like, you know, why did God write this? What is the tone? What is God trying to say here? What is he trying to say to me? What was he trying to say then? And you just think about it. The tone, the feeling, how he's going to speak to you, and that's where you ask the Holy Spirit to allow you to be open to what he has to say. You can also think on the words just in front of you and read them and just think of those particular words. Nothing else, nothing before, nothing after, just what God has said. This is where God speaks. This is where he gives understanding in the quiet of meditation. But we tend to think, well, I don't have time to stop and think. I don't have time to do that. It's because you're not quieting. Maybe there's other reasons and they're uncontrollable and that's fine. But if in most cases, if you sit down and read one scripture, you will actually be able to hear God speak to you. And it's quite incredible. But we're so busy nowadays that we allow all these other distractions to get in and bother us. And so take the time to take a scripture, pull it out, and sit down on it. I know you may say, well, this sounds basic, but are you doing this? That's really the question. Because there's so many other things we can do that get in the way. We have stuff we got to prepare for. We've got kids or other responsibilities, and we're not taking that time. And so I want to encourage you today to meditate on a scripture or a section of scripture and just think about that and take it through your day. It doesn't have to be just now. That's why the scripture talks about day and night. It talks about thinking of those words, the word of God throughout your day. And I promise you, you won't go wrong when you do that. The second thing you can do is be still and just let go. And how I say this is there are times when we struggle with certain issues. And a good way to find release of some of these issues is using imagery. So what I tend to do is, if I'm struggling with something, and you may have a different view or a different way of doing it, but what I will do is I will picture Jesus sitting on his throne, and I take my problems and I put them, and for some reason it's a leather pouch. I don't know, do whatever you want. And I take that pouch, I tie it up, and I place it at his feet. And I give him the problem. I put the problems in there, and I hand it to him. There are other things, like physically doing it, physically taking it, saying, God, you know what? I'm giving this to you. It helps you release what you've been dealing with inside. And so laying it at his feet, because there's tons of scripture that talks about lay your burden at his feet. But whatever works for you, you can do that. And if it helps you, then great. Figure out what's going to work for you. And so physically going through the motions will really help make a difference on that. And you can also, thirdly, ponder his creation. Have you ever been outside and looked around and saw what God has made and been like, this is incredible? If you've traveled anywhere, you'll go and you get off a plane or you drive somewhere and you get out and you look around and you see what God has done. Whether it's glaciers, forests, tropical, whatever it is unbelievable what God has done. And for you to ponder that, I know people that specifically go out into the wilderness because they feel so much closer to God because there's nothing there to distract them except his creation. You're not worshiping or thinking about the creation. You're thinking about the creator. Big difference. Big difference. Some people like to go out on the ocean and they just feel it. The God's there, the power of the ocean. And so these are the things that you give thanks to him for, but you ponder on what he's done. Think about the animals that he has made and how those systems work. I was watching a documentary a little while ago, and they were having problems in one of the national parks in the States, and they couldn't figure out why they were getting overrun with coyotes and a bunch of other things. And so they introduced a pack of wolves in there that they had, and guess what? Everything balanced out because the wolves started dealing with whatever they got to deal with, and then it just all worked its way down the food chain and just took care of it. And then all of a sudden, flowers are blooming that never bloomed before because they were being eaten by other species that were overrunning it. The system that God has created is unbelievable. And that's just one example. When we think about the universe and how the earth is tilted, if it was 1 degree a different way, we'd burn up. If it was 1 degree, we'd freeze the other way. These are incredible things that God has done. And when we meditate and think about those things, you can think about them all day. Again, it's not a distraction. It's just being thankful. And so Romans chapter 1:20 talks about that. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. The scripture is saying, if you look around and look at creation and everything that's happening, you have to believe that there's a creator. And so creation is crying out saying, God is here. He has done this. So scripture's clear. Amos chapter 9 verse 6 says, he builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundation on earth. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. Have you ever been in a moving river? If you're in a moving river, there are signs that it's not good. There are signs that if it's a shallow river, it can be moving anywhere between 6 to 10 kilometers, and that will sweep you away. And it doesn't have to be more than 3 feet. It doesn't have to be, it'll just move you. The power of water is incredible. The ocean, ever been swept away? We went on our honeymoon in Hawaii. We were in love. It was beautiful. And you know, she looked out for me everywhere we went. I looked out for her, and we went to this one beach and said, don't swim. And so I said, we won't swim, but I just want to put my legs in. And the waves were huge. And so we had rented a Jeep, and I took my sandals off. I put them on the sand. I put the keys to the Jeep in my sandals. And I went, I'm going to go to the water. And she's like, yeah, no problem. She's on the beach. And I walked over here, don't swim. Not going to swim. I walk over to the big waves, and they're crashing. And I'm looking like this. She's behind me. And I turn around, and I do one of these, take my eyes off it, right over me, down and out. And out I went, spinning and flopping like a beached whale. I was a little heavier then. Flopping around. Couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is it. Nobody's going to save me. Michelle will save me. She was chasing the keys that were in my floating sandal. So she didn't even know that the sea had taken me. And as I'm flipping around, spazzing and going, this is it. I can't hold my breath any longer. This is gonna be a tragic story. My life flashed before my eyes. Rewind. Delete. Moving on. Yeah, my life flashed before my eyes, and I got spit up onto the sand, and then looked, and Michelle was running that way. I'm like, where's she going? And she comes around, she's like, didn't you see the keys? And I'm like, did you not see me dying? The power of that water was unbelievable. I could not stop myself from spinning. It was just spin, 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 spin. It was, I've never had that loss of control ever before, so I respect water. The power of it. I respect God's creation. And then I respect the sun. I respect the sun because we took the top down and drove around, didn't have sunscreen on, so we spent our honeymoon in separate bedrooms, burnt. Don't touch me. Happy honeymoon. But these are powerful things that creation has made, that God has controlled. It's unbelievable. And so to see these things, whenever we see sea life, like if Michelle sees a dolphin or a whale, she is like uncontrollably excited, like uncontrollably. You have no idea. I'm like, just settle down. We're gonna. They're just. It's gonna be okay. But she loves creation, and we saw a bear up in Whistler, and that's powerful. You know. You just have to be faster than the slowest person, and you're going to be fine when it comes to being chased by a bear. But these things are powerful. I don't know if you've, when I was younger, I rode an elephant. Has anyone ever ridden an elephant before? I know it's not humane to do that anymore, but we didn't know back then. I'm old. You know, that's what we did. But I got on this elephant, and what an incredible, powerful, gentle creature. It's unbelievable. So when God creates something, he doesn't mess around. And it hurts my heart when I hear of species just going out of existence. It kills me inside because I'm like, God, what are we doing? What are we doing? So those are the things, that's how you can ponder on creation, think of scripture, be still and just let go of things. And that's Christian meditation. It's not mystical. It's actually to get you in tune, to pull your attention into what God has done. So what are the results? And very quickly, when we meditate on God, we will naturally be obedient. When you're thinking on the things of God, you will be obedient. I promise you that. Psalm 119:11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Joshua 1:8, we talked about it, meditated on day and night. Psalms 119:55, oh Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. These are incredible scriptures. And what it's saying is when I think of the word of God or when I'm pondering on his creation or think about what he's done, I shouldn't go astray. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. We do. But the point is, if we're meditating on his word, it's not going to happen as much. We're kind of like the little kid that sticks their finger in the cookie jar or sticks their fingers in their ears and says, I can't hear you when the parent is talking. Logic says that if we can't hear them, then we don't have to listen. So if I'm not listening to God, I don't have to. I know that I'm not supposed to do something, but if I just plug my ears a little bit, then I can do it. And we tend to be like that. Meditation causes us to be vulnerable. When we listen to someone else who's telling us what we need to do or that we've done something wrong when we were younger and even when we're older, we are vulnerable. We get insecure. We don't like to hear it. When we meditate on the Word of God, we won't act out in those ways of disobedience because His Word is in our heart. And again, the times that we do make mistakes or go down a wrong path, I can almost promise you it's because we have ignored His Word and have stopped spending time meditating on His Word and spending time with Him. I guarantee you, the first question you need to ask anybody, yourself, is if they've done something, how's your devotional life? Because guess what? That's where it starts. And it just goes down from there. It starts in decline if you don't do it, but it starts in incline if you do. Your relationship with God. So obedience is very difficult to disobey when you're in tune with Him on a regular basis. I mean, we talked about Jonah, right? He totally disobeyed, but then he thought he could run from the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. La, 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 I'm going to jump on a boat. You can't see me. What happens? The crew comes in. What's going on here? We got a problem. Everything. Well, it's because of me. I'm running from God. And they're like, well, then you're going and throw me in the water. Throws him in the water. Does he think God's really going to just kill him? No, he sends a fish along. The fish takes him. Has a good time in the ocean. Don't know what. Obviously, he's going to have to start thinking about it for a little while he's stuck in the belly of a fish. And then he gets spit up on the land. He still doesn't want to do it, but he's like, fine, I'll do it. His big concern was more that he just didn't want them, the people of Nineveh, to be saved. So when we're in tune with Him, we will listen. If we're super stubborn, it might take a little bit longer, like Jonah. Secondly, when we meditate on God's Word, we will naturally gain an understanding of Scripture or wisdom. When we meditate on God's Word, Psalm 119, 97, and 98, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. And there's other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. It is incredible of what He opens up in your mind and in your life when you meditate on His Word. When we meditate on God, we will naturally have confidence and faith. When you're in tune with God, you know He's going to take care of you. Have you ever met people that just know God's taking care of business, so they got this confidence, and you're like, man, I wish I had the faith and the confidence. It's because they are in tune with God. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand and I will not be shaken because He is with me. Was there a time in your Christian walk and in your life when you had complete confidence in God? Was there a time that you knew, that you knew, that you knew that God was walking you in this direction, or you just knew that He was taking care of everything? That confidence that couldn't be shaken. We sing a song, a worship song called, I Will Not Be Shaken. Do we really understand when we sing that we cannot be shaken because of the confidence we have in God? Maybe you haven't felt that way in a while, but I'm going to guarantee you that if it's been missing, you haven't been putting a priority on your relationship with God. You haven't been doing some disciplines. It's kind of like the professional athlete who takes 1,000 basket shots or 1,000 hockey shots or kicks the ball or whatever they do in their sport. Whatever they do it over and over and over again to become very good at it. When we ignore God, do we think we're going to get any better? If a hockey player or a basketball player just stop practicing, the chances are in a couple years, they will be horrible and we all could beat them at their game. You get worse. I know this because I tried to golf a while ago and I am horrible. I used to be really good. Golf is expensive. I don't want to pay that to hit a little ball around. I used to love it. Love golf. I was on a golf team in high school. I won championships. I was killer. You tell me where to put that ball, I'm going to put it right there. I could drop that thing anywhere. Now I'm just embarrassed because I don't practice. I need to if I want to get better. And so what do? You got to go to the driving range. You got to hit a ton of balls every day. If you keep slicing, you're never going to get it on the fairground unless it's a good old right. Moving on the right. Like, you have to work at it. And that's the same with our relationship with God. You have to continually do it. You won't have the confidence. Now when I go out and grab a golf club, I don't have the confidence that that ball's going to go where I want it to go. I don't have the confidence. And guess what? I shouldn't, because I'm horrible. So if you want to beat me at golf, you better get in on it now, because I used to be good. And that's the worst thing. We always say in our, I used to be really good. No, I was good, and now I'm not. And it's frustrating because I don't practice. Our relationships can become stagnant. And when our relationships with God become stagnant, we start to slip away. And we don't hear his voice like we used to. And that's a problem. So when you're struggling, the first thing you need to look at is your devotional life. What have I been doing to keep my relationship with him? If you've been struggling lately, I'm here to tell you that God is waiting to hear from you. He's been waiting all along, but he's waiting to hear from you. If you work on the discipline of meditation, you will see huge changes in your relationship with God, your spiritual life, and I guarantee you your personal life as well, because God will be the one directing you and speaking to you. But along with all that comes repentance and obedience. These are the essentials in any biblical understanding of meditation. Repentance and obedience. Today, I've given you several scriptures on meditation, and we've recognized the benefits of pondering on the things of God, getting away from all the noise and allowing him to speak to you in a real way. I want to challenge you today to try these examples of discipline. This is practical Christian disciplines that we tend to walk away from because they just seem like, well, I don't know, I don't have time for that, or I got too busy, or things just happen. Don't walk away. Take one of them, whether it's meditating on a scripture. Today, before you walk out the door, pull up on your phone a scripture, whatever it may be. Take one of the ones I've given you today and just think about it today. Don't walk around with your head in the clouds, but think about what God is doing. If that's creation, think about the wonderful creation. Look around you. Have you ever looked at those pictures that you have to unfocus and then you see? They're like dots when you look at them, but when you look past them, that's what happens when God speaks to you. You can look out at creation and all of a sudden it pops out and you're like, I never saw that before. Those pictures will mess you up. God can mess you up even more in a good way. And I want you to take the time to do that. If that's what you need to do, look at creation. If it's grab a scripture, grab a scripture. If it's actually sitting and physically letting go of something and going through the motion of allowing God to take it from you, and maybe you have to do it every day for the next 6 months, do it every day. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. God, I'm giving this to you. Lay it at his feet. Take it. Give it to him. Physically, I guarantee you will see a difference in your life, personally and spiritually. Let's pray.